This is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. This episode continues my series from the Illinois Library Association Conference, and this episode is with Monica Harris and Karen Egan, who were the co-chairs of the Conference Planning Committee. Monica Harris is the Deputy Director of the Schaumburg Township District Library and an instructor at San Jose State University's high school. Karen Egan is a grants consultant with the Illinois State Library. Monica and Karen, you guys are the co-chairs for planning this conference, the Illinois Library Association Conference. Let's start with the timeline. How far back do you go? When do you start planning a state library conference like this? How long does it take to plan?
We started actually a year ago in the planning and getting the community together and coming up with ideas for programs and speakers we wanted to come in. I think the keynote speakers were the first thing that the committee developed, because those usually have a long timeline out that you need to make sure that they're booked.
Yeah, we meet the summer before the conference, and so that way we're able to put together our theme and put together the speakers that we want to come. And so that helps us get kind of an overarching vision for what we want the conference to be. And then that way, when we have the conference, we're able to help promote what next year's conference is going to be, because we've been able to meet ahead of time and decide what that's going to be.
And do you guys have a meeting at the conference? Like, is there a little committee meeting? Like, is next year's conference committee meeting at this current conference? Yeah, so they're all kind of together in the same room.
Yes, actually, somehow I got drafted to be on the committee next year as well. And the committee has been meeting already. They already have the theme chosen, which really helps because they can promote that at this year's conference. So to generate excitement for next year as well. Plus, next year will be a joint conference between two organizations, the Illinois Library Association and the Illinois School Library Media Association. So they are promoting the joint conference at both of the conferences this year.
You come up with the theme and the speakers sort of together? Do you come up with one first, or is it sort of a joint process that happens as the committee speaks?
One of the things that when people know that they're going to be on the committee, there's some communication that goes out before we have our first meeting, and they know that this is going to be one of the things we're going to be talking about at our first meeting. So people kind of come with a list of people they might be interested in speaking, and they're going to range from people who would be interesting keynote motivational speaker types to authors that they really think would be interesting to have. And so there's a lot of opportunity to explore the kinds of things people might be interested in.
In Illinois, you guys are a little unique in that you have a well-funded library association, so they actually have a staff that can take care of a lot of stuff. So other library people planning conferences might have to do a lot more of the ground-level work. Like, do you guys do any work on getting vendors here? Do you do any work on the exhibit hall? Do you have to – I assume, again, you don't choose the location either. Somebody else is doing that for you guys. As the chairs of the conference and the committee, do you have any involvement in that at all?
Delegation is key. That's the best way to say it, is there are committees that work directly with the exhibits and the vendors. There's a subcommittee that also works with fundraising to come up with sponsors who will sponsor, for example, coffee during registration or lunch during the exhibits, and programs. That really helps as well. So we use a lot of subcommittees who do a lot of that type of work and delegate as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, and so much of what Karen and I do on the conference committee becomes about program content and conference content. But yes, there are other committees that are working for fundraising and for exhibitors and making sure that all of those things are focused on too. The other thing is that I don't want to give the impression that the Illinois Library Association is well-funded, as they are very scrappy and hard-working organization. It's a very small office that does a ton of work. And so that's
just in comparison to other states, they may not.
Yes. I had a conversation with Steve ahead of time about Illinois versus Michigan, for instance. And in Michigan, when we were doing conference planning, so we had to do a lot of that work ourselves. And it's been really freeing in being part of this conference that I've been able to focus on content.
Absolutely. And one of the really nice things about the conference, too, is Monica and I, for example, are both ILA personal members of the organization. And so to give back to the organization, we volunteer our time as co-chairs for this, as do our entire committee. So we are very fortunate to have a lot of volunteers who give time and their energy and ideas and expertise to the conference.
Do you have anything to do with the exhibition part of it, the bringing in vendors or something like that, or is that more the staff works on that part of it?
Yeah, you know, again, this can vary conference by conference, but for us, that is really not part of what we do. Although what we do try to do is make sure that we go around that exhibit hall and talk to the exhibitors, you know, about what they're doing. So, but truly, pulling those people in ends up being, you know, the responsibility of others and not us. Which, you know, as a big group of librarians, is sometimes freeing for people because not, you know, one of the great things about that committee is it's not all administrators. We try to pull in people who come from all different kinds of libraries and who do all different kinds of library work to make sure that we have a balanced conference. But a lot of those people aren't focused on vendors and financial relationships. And so being able to allow them to focus just on the content of what is being offered for librarians like them is a really amazing opportunity.
Yeah, you guys have planned a lot of extracurricular activities. Can you talk about a couple of those and do you try to tailor those specifically to the city that you're going to? Springfield, do you do Abraham Lincoln things because it's Abraham Lincoln, all the omnipresent stuff? Like that, do you look at what that city can specifically offer as an extracurricular activity?
Yes and no. There are some extracurricular activities that are repeated every conference that just are popular and people love them. Others do go with the city. For example, in Springfield, we did a ghost tour where the people registered in advance for the tour, and then they did a walking tour of the Lincoln sites downtown Springfield, and they had a narrator who was telling about the ghosts and the spirits of Lincoln and other folks in downtown Springfield.
One of the other things that has been interesting when we're talking about what we're doing is a lot of times when it comes to the conference in Chicago, as it's often every other year in Chicago and then moves to a location that's further downstate, is that when it's in Chicago, a lot of times people are wanting to try a restaurant or go and go on some other kind of tourist excursion. And when they're coming to some of these other cities that they're maybe not as familiar with, they really look to the conference committee to provide more activities for them to do after the conference is over. And so I think because of that, some of what we have, you know, to offer is with that in mind, that we know a lot of people really want to have some kind of fun, organized things for them to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. For example, when the conference is at Navy Pier in Chicago, that is a self-made event for people to have evening activities to do. Whereas in Springfield, not so much so.
What other kinds of stuff do you do? I know you do Battle Decks, and we'll let Monica talk about that for a minute. She has some familiarity with that. And you're doing a pub stroll later. Before we get into Battle Decks, Are there any other extracurricular activities that really excite you that you're doing?
Another one that was last night. There was a couple last evening as well, which was Tuesday evening. And one is called Stories and Spirits, which is a sort of long-running, interesting kind of I don't know, it's a social gathering, a networking opportunity for youth services librarians, although a lot of librarians go to it and have the opportunity to see it. And then Karen's organization actually hosted a really cool reception at the State Library last night.
Right. We had a dessert reception at the Illinois State Library last night where people just came in. It was a networking opportunity for people to come, gather together to share stories, connect with each other. There were desserts, of course, there. And people were making video postcards about some of the CE programs that they had attended in the past just to, you know, validate the worth and value of it. But it was a good networking event. But the Battle Decks, Monica.
For the very first time this year at our welcoming reception, we decided to do Battle Decks, which some of you may have had the opportunity to have seen at ALA in previous years or at South by Southwest. generally the way that it's done is that there is a slide deck of 10 slides, and there is a presenter who's going to present on those slides. And the big catch is that that presenter has never seen those slides before. And so a theme is chosen. Our theme this year was Kickstarter Die in honor of our conference theme, as well as Halloween being just around the corner. And so then there were 10 slides that were going to show up, and we had 5 competitors. You know, it can be done differently. The competitors aren't allowed to see each other compete. And there is, well, at least that's how we did it. And then there was a group of judges who look at all of the things that the presenter's doing well. So are they able to hold together a cohesive presentation? Are they able to use hand gestures and have poise and be funny and engaging? And of course, audience interest and participation is one of the things they're doing. So I was dumb enough to say yes, that I would do it this year. And to be honest, it was like the thing I was most worried about heading into this conference, which is hilarious because there's this whole giant conference with all these people coming to town. And the thing I'm most worried about is doing battle decks. But it was a great experience. You know, it was a lot of fun to be able to not take myself so seriously and get up in front of so many of my colleagues that I've known for so long and have them have the opportunity to really see me try not to fall on my face. But it was a fun time.
Do you feel like you did well?
I did pretty well. What happened was our judges decided there was a 3-way tie for first, which is of 5 people. and then they had the audience choose the winner. And so I made it into the 3-way tie for winning. And then the audience chose another winner. So I did not win. But we had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
I would highly recommend any organization who wants to try a battle decks type of event, do it, because it was a wonderful way to start off the conference. And the conference started with people laughing and just truly enjoying themselves. And it was like improv comedy. It was a wonderful way to begin the conference on a happy note.
So one of the great things about a state library conference is that you get to see people face-to-face, one-on-one. It's not the reading about them in a magazine. It's not talking about them to them on Twitter or on Facebook. It's really communicating face-to-face. Do you think that that networking is a really important part of a state library conference?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really one of the only opportunities that we have all year to get to see so many faces in one place. And that was actually one thing that our keynote speaker, Josh Linkner, commented on when he first started, was just how warm everybody was at that opening. Like, people were seeing people they maybe hadn't seen in a whole year and having the opportunity, you know, just to come face to face and see them and talk to them in a relaxed setting where they maybe have the opportunity to go over some things they've been thinking about or things they've been thinking of trying and really wanted to bounce some ideas off of other people in a way that was really natural and comfortable.
Oh yeah, and like Monica just said, is a lot of times at conference you're seeing people that you haven't seen in a year, and it's a great way to reconnect and network and share ideas. And that's why we do the extracurricular activities in the evening as well as the programs during the day, because the evenings allow for time to spend in a relaxed atmosphere where you can share, you can reconnect with your colleagues and just share the ideas that you are experiencing throughout the conference and what's been happening.
Right. I think what you said is really important, because we spend so much time absorbing this information throughout the day, which can be exhausting. If you go to 4 or 5 sessions in one day and you're trying to learn things, it can be tough to take any more in. And so a lot of the conversations that happen really become about processing what you've learned, you know, and pulling out the things that you've heard that maybe are really going to work for you or that you're going to focus on in the next year. And I think without the opportunity to talk to other people about that, whether that's through social media or otherwise, because that's obviously a component of conference too, is that you have the opportunity to say, like, these are the things I thought were really important, and I'm going to make sure I talk to somebody else about it.
Well, and that can be the thing that can be important, is just sort of the informal stuff. I mean, you go to a restaurant or a bar later that you're just sitting around talking, and you're going to, I mean, you'll obviously talk about other things too, but you might talk about what you learned that day and that processing that you talked about. So.
Yeah, the Prob Stroll is really planned networking, because we have different places where people will gather and they travel between one or the other, and it gives you a chance to network with different groups, and so you will see different people at each of the locations. So it's more about the networking than it is the pubs.
All right, so Karen, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you do outside of being a co-chair of a conference. I don't actually have your exact title written down. I know you work with grants. Can you talk a little bit about what, number one, what is your title, and what do you do kind of on an everyday basis?
My title is LSTA Grants Consultant, and every state has one person who is assigned to work with the Library Services and Technology Act funding that comes from the Institute of Museum and Library Services. And that's what I do, is I primarily work with the LSTA money as well as other grants awarded from the state library. Our state library is a grant-giving agency. We provide grants to libraries of all types, school, public, academic, and special, in Illinois. And that's what I do, grants.
Is that – I know when you get into money, sometimes it's hard to figure things out. Do you administer all kinds – is it only the IMLS grants that you work with, or do you help – if libraries have questions about other kind of grants, would you answer that for them?
Yes. That's the short answer. Yes, I would. We also have state-funded grants with state funds, the federally funded grants, which is the flow-through money from IMLS, Institute of Museum and Library Services. We also try to connect libraries where we can with other grants that are available around the state, like the DCEO, Humanities Council, other grant opportunities that might be available for libraries that they could take advantage of. So it's anything we can do to help libraries get more funding, we're all over it. The Illinois State Library is a division of the Secretary of State's office in the state of Illinois. And a lot of states are possibly within the Department of Education. In other states, depending on where the organizational chart is for that state library. So we're fortunate to be within the Secretary of State's division. So anything that's done within the legislature usually goes through the Secretary of State's office.
So outside of your work as working on grants and outside of being a co-chair of the conference, what advantages do you see as being part of the State Library of Association? What kind of advantages do you see to people joining something like that? What do you get out of that?
I'm very fortunate to have been a member of the Illinois Library Association. I can't tell you how long I've been a member because that that would date me. But there are so many opportunities that the Illinois Library Association provides for its members, such as, you know, for example, in Illinois, the ILA provides summer reading program materials for public libraries, school libraries, anybody who's interested. And they announced today that we have other states. We also have a contract with the Department of Defense to provide it for the military across the world, which is very cool when you think about that, that summer reading is going to military families around the world. And advocacy efforts are done through the Illinois Library Association. They have a pulse on legislation that's happening, keep us apprised of filtering issues that might be coming up or bills that affect libraries. They take care of that. And so we, as the general membership, can depend on them to let us know what's happening around the state and let us know what issues are current or pending. That's really critical because there's so much information out there, it's hard to stay on top of it all. So that's one of the advantages of being a member, is having that information, I guess, given to us, and they keep an eye on it.
So Monica, you used to, you first came to my attention that I knew who you were on Twitter and the things like that and the movers and shakers list because you were working with teens. I know you've since moved up sort of into management level things. Do you miss working with teens directly?
Yeah. I mean, I think the main reason that I got into libraries in general was to work with teens. So it's been kind of an interesting ride, you know, through library services. I originally thought I was going to be a teacher and teach arts and English, and went as far as doing my first kind of student teaching program. And it was really great. But it came to my attention just through some relationships that I had in my life that there was another way that I could go and still be involved with kids and be able to really help with education on my own terms. And one of the things I love about libraries, besides all of the amazing, you know, pieces of being a librarian and the ethics and tenets that we hold to, which I believe in so dearly, is the opportunity to be so flexible in what we do. And that was immediately what was appealing to me about being able to work with teens and work with them on literature and also, you know, in the programming and education and information literacy that we do, but do it through a library setting. And so, yeah, I started out doing that and I did it for quite a few years. But as happens in the library world, sometimes you're offered opportunities and you just move forward with them as you go. So the way that I have been in libraries where teen was part of a children's department. In my last library, teen was part of an adult and teen services department. And so I had the opportunity to move into assistant managing that department. And from there was really able to look at some of the wider kinds of things that were going on in libraries and really think about how interesting those things could be. So I would say, I guess what I miss the most is that kind of day-to-day the day-to-day experience of getting to interact with other people that are visiting the library and really have that moment where you get to find something that's so perfect for someone or really help them with something important. But, you know, somebody's got to do the administration piece too. And that's something I've really come to understand, is that all pieces of the library are important. And so even though I do miss some of those things, it's really important that you've got somebody working on that behind the scenes stuff in the same way too.
I mean, you always need sort of the people, sort of the forest and the trees kind of thing. You need the people working on the trees and you need the people looking at the whole forest, and you need that connection there. What kind of projects do you work on now in your current position as, is it deputy director? Is that the correct term? Yeah. So what kind of projects do you generally work on sort of as an, I know I'm sure it changes day by day, but what kind of things are you working on now?
Yeah. So one of the really interesting sidesteps that I took in my career is that I moved from that being an adult and teen services to doing a new position at the Oak Park Public Library they had, which was customer service manager. And what they did there was decided to have the circulation manager be someone who was focused on all of the staff, the support staff that was coming in without an MLS and talking about that experience. And so I actually moved from, you know, working with teens and as a librarian to doing something that had very little to do with my MLS and working on how to make sure that people were getting this amazing experience as soon as they came into the library. And that was fascinating to me. And honestly, what led me kind of directly into administration. And so in my new library, a lot of what we're working on is some of that same kind of stuff. I'm overseeing the circulation department, the branch locations, security. And then I'm also just connected with the director and the management team and working on new strategic planning and, you know, some of those kind of large scale things. So it gives me the opportunity to really have my hands on planning for a new culture moving forward as I work for a relatively large suburban Chicago library where, you know, we're fortunate to have a lot of staff and a sizable budget. And so we have the opportunity to move into like a new generation of library services.
And I think libraries now are, the good ones anyway, are looking toward this, the economic recovery now as opportunities now that we can, things that we had to sort of have some lean years and get by much more. It almost gave us an opportunity to be more, to find efficiencies in our work, that the budgets were getting cut, things like that. And so you found ways to get things done, and now maybe we can get some of that money back and do some new things. I had talked to somebody earlier about all the new kind of makerspace and kind of new things like that. That those are all great, but we also don't want to throw away what we do well, which is books and reading and things like that. So you want to have a balanced approach to do all these great things. So you guys are working on a new strategic plan now. is this your first strategic plan you've worked on directly like this?
I was on a management team at Oak Park Public Library when there was some strategic planning, but really, you know, this is just as part of a management team where you're there to like bounce ideas off of, but it's not my, you know, plan. And so what we're doing at Schaumburg now is we refer to it as a plan of service. It's a little different. So what we're doing right now is focusing so much on the assets of our community. So it's that whole concept of like assets-based community building where you really look at what you have in abundance and the things that you do really well and focus on that rather than the things that you need to change and improve. So what we're doing is really taking stock with our library of like, what is really great about the place that we live and what is really great about the community that we serve and what can we do to make it better by focusing on those things, you know, like really focusing on our strengths. And so that's been an interesting thing for me. Schaumburg, I don't live in Schaumburg. I travel there. Have been in other communities. And so Schaumburg is this sort of what you think of as being this very traditional 50s suburb, like suburban tract homes. But so much of what we think about has changed. I would say so much of the new census data that we've seen, especially in Chicagoland, you've seen the city itself of Chicago get more gentrified. We've moved from something like 36% white in 2000 census to 75% white in the 2010 census. And at the same time, you're seeing a lot of those middle class diverse families moving to the suburbs. And we've seen that happen in our district. So we are approaching about 35% of the students who go to the schools in our district speak a language other than English at home. And so we're realizing like we have a different focus than we had 10 years ago, you know? And so we're trying to keep up with the way that our community is changing and the things that they want. And so that's been a super interesting part of this process.
Are you guys doing a lot of new or wanting to do a lot of new technology projects like, makerspace-ish kind of stuff?
We were very fortunate to have a new teen center developed a couple years ago, and that included a lot of digital media lab production studio type equipment, as well as things like 3D printer. And, you know, we have a robotics club. We do a lot of that stuff through our teen center. But one of the things, of course, that we discovered is that once you have those tools, you know, there's more than just the teens in your community who want those things, obviously. And so one of the things we've been able to do is to open up, you know, some of those things as we're going through. We have a large building. Our central location for the Schaumburg Township District Library is the second largest library in Illinois. And so when we're looking at that building, which is now 15 plus years old, you know, we're looking at the things that we maybe weren't thinking of 15 years ago. What are the things that we need now? And of course, you know, talking about creation is super important. But I think beyond talking about just maker stuff, there's a lot as far as participatory activity that we're looking at. We're really looking at ways for us to offer more opportunities to reflect our community as it's things when people are coming in, whether it's questions that we ask them and have them respond to, whether it's just having more things to do when people come into the building. One of the concepts we're looking at is the idea of being places of 10. So anytime you walk into a place, there's at least 10 things that you can do when you go there. And so really looking at ways that we can be a better community center for our community by providing more things for the people who want to be there.
I want to also ask you about the program you're presenting here at the Illinois Library Association Conference. You said you're moderating a panel about presenting for librarians, because a lot of librarians don't know how to do that. I don't know if I've pointed this out earlier on the show, but I did some presentations here at the conference, and they were my first presentations. So I traveled in time and gone to your presentation first to learn some skills and come back. So kind of tell me basically how the idea came up for this session and some things you think, obviously you haven't done it yet right now that we're talking, but that you think you're going to come out of it.
Yeah. This is a great question. So I am very involved with the Illinois Library Association. Previous to this, when I lived in Michigan, I was really involved with the Michigan Library Association. And, you know, I've gotten to do presentations at ALA and PLA. One of the things that I think that we worry about when we're on conference committees, Sam, this year, is that we start to look like a little bit of an echo chamber, right? Because you get a lot of the same people who are coming up and, you know, offering presentations. You're not necessarily getting as diverse a point of view. And there's a reason that that happens. It's because there are some people who are comfortable with doing presenting, and those are the people who submit program presentations. And, you know, good on them. I'm super impressed that they're the ones who do it. I'm one of those people, you know? There's a lot of other people whose voice we need to hear. And so one of the things that as as a conference committee, when we're talking to people about, hey, why didn't you submit a presentation? Why didn't you submit a program? People are just worried about the concept of presenting. Like, we're librarians. We're not always trained in, you know, speech concepts. And so what we decided to do was just pull together a group of kind of local librarians who've done a lot of presentations from different fields. We've got an academic librarian and a couple of public librarians who have done this on a regular basis. And we just thought we would host a moderated panel that says, hey, what are your tips for presenting? What do you do when you're putting together a program presentation? What do you do to make sure that you're doing a good job creating your slides or not using slides at all? So along with using maybe some of the tips that they've picked up from other resources over the years, they're just going to talk about their practical experience. And what we're hoping to get out of it is a new group of people who are maybe more comfortable with sharing their perspective and the things that they've done.
What's the advantage of being active, not only, not necessarily just in ALA at a national level, but being active in your state level?
I'm so glad you asked this question because I'm so passionate about this. So I got my library degree in 2004, and so I've been a librarian now for 10 years. I think especially when we work at large libraries or we work for big systems or we've been in the field for a while, a lot of times we tend to think that the only value that we can get are from these large scale kind of national conversations, which are super important. And I really respect the work that is being done at the national level. But being involved with your state association is so important. It allows you so many things. First of all, it's less expensive. So if your library can't afford to send you to a national conference, there's so much that you can do within your own state. And some states are large, you know, so you're still having to travel a good amount occasionally. But there's really a possibility to do something in a more local way. The other thing is it really gives you a chance to have colleagues. And one of the reasons that I got into it immediately in Michigan was that I was a teen librarian. And like a lot of teen librarians, I worked by myself. I was a kind of, you know, I was the only teen librarian in my library. I provided all of the programming. I had to do all of these things. And as a new librarian, I didn't always know how to do those things. And I didn't always work with someone else who could tell me how to do it. And so it immediately gave me a network of other people who were doing the same thing that I was doing and who could teach me, not just online, but in person, like really help me out with the work that they were doing. And these people became immediate mentors or immediate friends, and I really had the opportunity to do something great. The other thing is that the support that we get for our libraries and our library communities in general can only be as good as we make them. You know, you have to do the work. If you want something to be better, you have to do it. And so I believe really, really strongly that if you can do it, like, just find a way to volunteer. It can be with something that you're directly, you know, associated with. Or you can just find a state association person who's working and just say, hey, I want to help. Where would I fit? And I guarantee you that they will find someplace for you to be. You know, typically, these are not, you know, heavily funded organizations. In Illinois, we're very fortunate to have an amazing staff that works for the Illinois Library Association who does so much to make sure that these conferences are well organized and well attended. But I know not every state is in that situation. So sometimes they're just scratching and clawing to try and get some of this stuff going. And so whatever people can do to help is going to make their colleagues better, and it's going to make themselves better. I don't care who you are. You always have things to learn. One of the things I tell people a lot is I come from a larger library, but there's such opportunity to learn things from smaller libraries without a lot of money, because those people have to be scrappy and they can make a decision and turn it on a dime. They don't have to move it through a whole bureaucracy. And you can learn things from these small places that are just amazing that you can apply to a larger lens. So I would encourage people, no matter where they come from, to really take a hard look at their state associations and see if there's something they could do there.
If you'd like to learn more about the show or listen to past episodes, you can visit circulatingideas.com or follow us on Twitter at CircIdeas. We're also on Tumblr at circulatingideas.tumblr.com. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/circulatingideas. If you have comments, questions, or suggestions for future interviews, you can drop us a line at mail@circulatingideas.com. Music is by Pamela Klicka. Thank you for listening, and keep circulating the ideas.
If you ever want the mic, by the way, if you ever want the mic, just let me know if you want to add something.